Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Experiments, we know, are the lifeblood of science, and like any other human enterprise, they can throw up unexpected outcomes and revolutionise science. But they can be a long time in the making, and they can also be beautiful. Continuing our series on scientific experiments, we're joined by physicist and associate professor Shane Bergen to share some of the experiments that he and other scientists think are beautiful. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning.
Not a word that we normally associate, dare I say, with science and with experiments.
No, but as a scientist, and I'm sure other scientists listening will be very familiar with the public asking when they find out you're a scientist, say, "Oh, what do you do?" And you say, "I'm a physicist or biologist or whatever." But perhaps a more revealing question might be to ask, what are you trying to figure out? You'll see the scientists' eyes light up and start to talk about the experiments that they're doing to try and learn about the world.
Okay, so that's a good small talk tip if you
Absolutely.
Meet a scientist.
Yeah, but you'll find what's beautiful to the scientist will be about them. That kind of unknown is beautiful to the scientist. So science isn't about all the stuff we already know. It's about the unknown, and it's about the ways we can kind of learn about that unknown. And our experiments are the way in. And they're beautiful when they work. They really are. But that's fleeting. And you can spend, like, say, 4 years doing a PhD, and you might just have a half a dozen of these aha moments where something's worked for you in an experiment, and you've learned something, you've discovered something, you think you've figured something out, and you might be the first person ever to do that. And it's like a scoop, I guess, for you guys in here, right? When something happens and you have that sense of we're in it and it's present. It really is beautiful when that happens.
An election count, maybe, might be the equivalent.
I don't know if they describe that as beautiful, but we shall see. But, you know, I position it there as something quite lofty, I suppose. Yeah. You think of science being beautiful as those big experiments like in CERN or NASA or something. But beauty can be at a local level too. It can be for that sole PhD student. Indeed, it can be for a young person in a secondary school lab around the country. As a judge at the Young Scientist every year, I meet kids from across the country who come in with the most amazing, and I would say beautiful, experiments. One that comes to mind, our students from Inishman, they got these massive rocks, huge rocks, and they painted them and they numbered them and they put them around the shoreline of their island, and they had the whole island community helping them to figure out where the rocks were moving to as a measure of storminess. And it was absolutely
Great
fantastic.
Idea.
It was such a clever idea. Mm. The beauty in it was its simplicity and also its execution.
Yeah, and also you'll have secondary school students who are repeating the old experiments using the Bunsen burner in the secondary school lab.
Snooze.
And they can be beautiful as well, because if it's the first time they've seen it.
They can, and indeed I'd say that a lot of the reform in curriculum at the moment is around getting a child-led learning, right, where they're able to come up with their own ideas, not to reinvent the wheel, but that kind of discovery-led learning. And that's so much more exciting than what I would describe as a cookbook type experiment where you're repeating something with a predictable outcome.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about stargazing, and clearly we're going to see some beauty here, aren't we?
Yeah, any experiment about beauty, you'd have to think about the work that NASA and the European Space Agency does. And one particular beautiful experiment that comes to mind is from the Hubble telescope. Listeners may remember that NASA launched the Hubble in the 90s, and there was a big operation done to try and correct its lens. They had to give it a massive contact lens because of an error. But it worked, and it has taken remarkable images over that time. But in 1995, in December, the telescope was pointed at a rather dark corner of the sky, something where you would think there's nothing there, right? And over 10 days, the telescope collected light on its huge mirror. It collected light that was travelling billions of kilometres from the outer reaches of space to reach that telescope. And then they developed the picture, right? And so it would have been like that kind of, speaking of the 90s, going into the chemist with your roll-up film and getting it developed to see your photographs. I guess young people listening can't.
Seven pictures of the dog
yeah,
to
exactly.
use up the film.
Two or or three that didn't work. No deleting photos then. But what they saw was remarkable. They saw this image, what they've christened the Hubble Deep Field image. They saw 3,000 galaxies at different stages of development from the nether regions of the cosmos. This light had taken billions of years to reach the camera in the telescope, and it was like a photograph of space and time. And it showed that for an area of space that we thought was dark, we could see this massive depth to space. We saw, as I said, around 3,000 galaxies, each of those would have tens of thousands of stars, if not more, within them. And each star might have the promise of a planet around it and perhaps life. So imagine the and that's just one tiny corner of space. Isn't it just beautiful
to
think?
You can imagine that moment when they saw those images, that they were, I would imagine, rendered speechless.
Yeah, exactly. And to see how tiny we are on this pale blue dot and all of our stuff, our nonsense that goes on day to day, yet we exist. And I think for any scientist who's looking out into space and seeing the enormity of the cosmos, that is truly beautiful.
So we're going to change now our scale, because we've been looking at the super duper, you know, the very big and the very far away. So let's look at the very, very tiny now and the beauty of an atom.
Yes. I remember the first time I saw an atom. I was a PhD student, and I was using a particular type of microscope with my friend and colleague Valeria. And I was working with these materials, nanomaterials. So they're like a hexagonal shape of carbon, like the way you'd see the Giant's Causeway, or the way bees arrange their hive. And I saw this hexagonal shape, and at each corner of the hexagon was a carbon atom. And it was blurry. Atoms are small, as you know. And I was absolutely amazed. I loved it so much that I put it on the side of a mug, and I still have it. I'm the only one that uses it in UCD, but I love it.
Shane's special mug, atom mug.
But to be able to see an atom is amazing. To understand how atoms are is also amazing. So if you take a piece of material like lead, and you keep cutting it in half and half again and half again, eventually you'll get down to the atomic, to the smallest indivisible unit, where it's still lead. If you were to cut it up anymore, it wouldn't be lead.
Yes.
And that's what the definition of an atom is the bit. And so we long kind of were trying to figure out how what atoms look like. We had to develop models. And so we ran experiments. And in the early 20th century, it was thought that the atom was like a plum pudding. So in other words, a spongy material that was uniform. And an experiment was done where they fired these kind of pellets, these tiny pellets at gold atoms, to try and figure out what it was made from. So they figured that by passing these pellets, these kind of alpha particles, through the thin pieces of gold, they'd be able to tell what was inside. And when they ran the experiment, what they found was most of it just passed straight through, unaffected. So they discovered that atoms are mainly empty space, which is remarkable and beautiful. And they found that some bounced right back, like a bullet coming back to hit you. It was absolutely remarkable.
Shane, we've got to leave it there, but thank you so much. That's Shane Burke.